Welcome to the first Employment Taxes podcast of 2012, where I will guide you on preparing for another payroll year end. Firstly, a reminder of your statutory obligations if you're an employer, also useful for those of us who are advising employer clients or submitting end of year PAY returns on behalf of our clients. Employers have a statutory obligation to submit annual PAY returns to HMRC. The statutory returns that have to be submitted are the P35 Employer Annual Return, the P14 End of Year Summary, including Form P60, and the P38A Employer Supplementary Return. These pay-as-you-earn returns have to be submitted to HMRC within 44 days after the end of the tax year, which for 2011-12 means by the 19th of May 2012. I must remind you that extra statutory concession B46 has gone. Therefore, we no longer have an extension of the submission deadline to the following week. HMRC can be expected to enforce the statutory deadline and will charge penalties where annual returns are late. Please note that almost all employers are now required to file their annual returns P35 and P14 online. There are very few exceptions to this requirement. These are domestic employers, carer and support employers, and certain religious groups who are excluded. But importantly, the exclusion does not apply if any of these groups previously filed their returns online in order to claim the incentive payments that used to be paid to small employers. Failure to file the P35 and P14 returns online will incur a penalty of up to £3,000, dependent on the size of the payroll. And remember that penalties are awarded separately for each pay-as-you-earn reference. So please check how many pay-as-you-earn references the client has and that all returns are submitted on time. Only the P35 and P14s must be filed online, separately for each pay-as-you-earn reference number, and only one P35 is required for each PAY reference. For some employers, a payroll bureau may submit the P14 separately, but the employer is responsible for that submission and may have to then separately submit the P35 online, perhaps using HMRC's PAY service. Employers do not have to submit the statutory P38A Employer Supplementary Return online. Instead, an employer can choose to submit a paper P38A return. So let's make a decision on that early. I know that AAT members often tell me that they prefer to put all employees, including casual employees, on the payroll instead of doing the P38A. Again, I suggest you make that decision early too. Remember that in order to be able to file the pay-as-you-earn returns online, the employer must first be registered for HMRC's PAYE online service. So one of the first questions for our end-of-year checklist is, are we registered? And where are the registration details? In other words, the username and the password. Completing the registration process can take up to 7 days, and there are penalties if you file your annual return late. So don't leave registration until the last minute. Again, if you are registered but cannot find the password, you will need to ask HMRC to issue a new password. How to register for online filing. If we're about to register for online filing, we will first need to have ready the employer pay-as-you-earn reference, for example 083 WA12345, and the accounts office reference, which is slightly different, for example 083 PR00567890. Both of these reference numbers can be found on the pay-as-you-earn paperwork sent to the employer when registering as an employer. The yellow, although sadly now white, PAYE payment booklet P30BC and the electronic pay-as-you-earn reminders HMRC sends us each year, the P30B, will also include this information. Going through the online registration process only takes a matter of minutes. But before we can start using the service, we will need to wait for an activation code that will be sent by post from the government gateway. This will usually arrive within 10 days of registration, so the key is not to leave registration until the last minute before the 19th of May deadline for filing the employer return. Remember that the activation code is only valid for 28 days. If we don't activate the service within that period, we will have to request a new activation code and then wait again for it to arrive by post. The following are the main stages in the registration process. First, go to the online services homepage and click on the register button. Secondly, click on organisation and select PAYE for employers on the next page. Third, read and accept the terms and conditions of HMRC's online services. Fourth, enter your name and email address. Fifth, create a password, making sure to keep it safe as you'll need it to use the service in the future. Sixth, you will be given a user ID, so make a note of it or take a screen print copy as you will need that to use the service. Seventh, enter your employer PAYE reference and the accounts office reference, as I've already discussed. Next, of course, we must wait for a letter in the post, which will contain the activation code needed to access the service for that first time. Activate the code immediately, because if it gets forgotten, the 28-day deadline may pass, and it really does not take much time to get this started. To log on to the PAYE online service, you simply enter your user ID and the password you selected, and then you will be asked to type in the activation code for the one and only time. If you already use the online service, perhaps for online filing of VAT or Construction Industry Scheme returns, follow login using your existing user ID and password, then follow the on-screen instructions to enrol for Pay As You Earn. You will receive an activation code in the post within the 7 working days, and you can activate the service as I've already explained. Well, now we are ready to think about submitting the end of year PAYE returns. What about our timetable for getting the job done? Oh, by the way, you should not use HMRC's free PAYE software if you have more than 50 P14s to submit. The submission may be rejected. Section 3, HMRC Guidance. HMRC's website, under the heading of PAYE End of Year Tasks at a Glance, provides a checklist on what needs to be done, and this can be accessed at www.hmrc.gov.uk/PAYE/payroll/year-end/checklist. And then we come to deadlines at a glance. The first deadline is the 19th of April. The task is outstanding PAYE tax and Class 1 NICs, and postal payments must reach HMRC Accounts Office by the 19th of April. Next, we have the 22nd of April, the electronic deadline. Outstanding PAYE tax and Class 1 NIC cleared electronic payments must reach HMRC's bank account by this date. However, as 22nd of April falls on a bank holiday, the cleared payment must reach HMRC's bank account no later than the last bank working day before that date. The next deadline, and perhaps the most important, is the 19th of May. File your employer annual return P35 and P14s. And it tells us if you are exempt from the requirement to file your employer annual return online, your paper returns must reach your HMRC office by the 19th of May. This does not mention that the 19th of May is actually a Saturday. Therefore, paper returns would have to be into the revenue by Friday the 19th of May. Our next deadline is the 31st of May, where we have to give each relevant employee a Form P60. More of that later. Next, we come to the 6th of July, the deadline for filing P11Ds, P9Ds, and the Form P11DB. The 19th of July is our next deadline, and that's the deadline for postal payments of Class 1A National Insurance contributions. And then the 22nd of July, which is the electronic payment deadline for Class 1A National Insurance contributions. Next section, 4, the statutory PAYE returns. First, let me explain the purpose of completing and submitting the end-of-year PAYE return, which is to summarise the payments and statutory deductions made during the tax year on the P35 employer annual return, and then, importantly, to balance the payments of tax, Class 1 National Insurance contributions, student loan and construction industry scheme deductions which are due to HMRC against the actual payments that have been made during the tax year. The purpose of making the P14 return is for the employer to take responsibility for the payroll, even if it is processed by a payroll bureau. The annual return has to be supported by details of each employee's or pensioner's payments and deductions, and this is done via the P14's end-of-year summary. The purpose of the P60 is to inform employees of their pay and tax details for the tax year just ended, in this case 2011-12. This will allow employees to complete their self-assessment tax return if required from the information they have been provided with. A PAYE return must consist of just one P35 and at least one valid P14. Where no end-of-year PAYE return is due, because there were no PAYE or NIC deductions, we can inform HMRC via what is called a structured email. This is available to agents as well as employers, and HMRC will then confirm receipt by email. The link for this on the government website is www.businesslink.gov.uk/no-employer-return. A lot of employers used this system last year, but some still receive penalty notices for failing to submit their PAYE returns. HMRC has explained that the problem was caused by incorrect or incomplete PAYE references. So let's be careful about this and check the page and reference numbers before we send the email. As I've already said, the yellow payslip books, which have now been replaced by white payslip books, will provide that information, as will, for many of us who pay online, the P30B letter. And the pay-as-you-earn references shown on the payslip books or P30B letter should be used on that email. Do not use a pay-as-you-earn reference on other correspondence from HMRC because it might be wrong. The pay-as-you-earn returns must meet HMRC's quality standard or they are likely to be rejected. So think now, does your payroll or your client's payroll meet the quality standard? Does it perform checks during the tax year, such as checking the format of national insurance numbers? And does it flag up where no national insurance number is present? We can send a test file to HMRC of up to 1,000 P14s, but that is if our software will allow us to do that. If we do send a test file to HMRC, it is very important that we remember that we also have to make the final submission, because the test submission will not count as a statutory submission, and some employers fall foul of doing that. Response times via the internet are normally just 1 minute, but large files can of course take much longer, and files sent under electronic data information can take a lot longer. This is why HMRC recommends weekend submission, or believe it or not, at 2 a.m. in the morning. If you're an insomniac, perhaps you'll do it that way. Once you've sent the submission, you need to be patient, and please do not resend the file if there is a delay. Be patient. Log off, go back to it perhaps. Also, always remember to keep a copy of HMRC's acceptance message. You may need that in the future. If you are sending the return in parts, perhaps because there are two or three or four branches with pay-as-you-earn at each branch, then each part should have a unique identifier. Because if we use the same identifier, then it will overwrite the previous submission. We also have to confirm on the P-35 how many parts we've sent, but not the number of P-14s. And the number of parts does not include the P-35 itself. Always remember to send the P-35 as the last item, and only send that once we're satisfied that the return is ready for submission. Once the P-35 has been accepted, no further amendments can be made, which would then mean that we would have to do any corrections by sending a letter to HMRC with an explanation of the corrections. Form P-60 must be issued to all employees in the employment at the 5th of April 2011 and to all pensioners receiving a pension at the 5th of April 2011. The deadline, as I've already mentioned, is the 31st of May 2011. And nowadays, we can send P-60s electronically if we wish. Paper copies of EP-60s must state this is a printed copy of an EP-60, and it is no longer necessary to mark copies that we send to employees as a duplicate. Form P-38S is a statutory end-of-year PAYE return, but it is the one statutory return that does not have to be submitted to HMRC, either by paper or online. However, it is important that employees appreciate that they must complete and retain the statutory P-38S student employee return form. P-38S returns must be completed by the student employee when they are first taken on, and then by the employer at the end of the tax year. These statutory returns must be retained for at least three closed tax years. So, for example, 2009-10, 2010-11, and 2011-12, once that year is closed. Section 5, Common Errors to Avoid. Let me now just mention a few common errors that typically crop up and cause problems. First of all, the pension contracted out number, the SCON number, being shown in the wrong format. Another problem is illegal characters in the forename field. For example, put in Mr. A field should not start with a space. Negative figures should not be in the earnings field. Be careful of using invalid national insurance number prefixes. You can find which prefixes are valid on the HMRC website. A common error, again, is where no gender is provided when the national insurance number is missing, or the employee's gender is not in the correct format. Employer tax office and PAYE references are often incorrect. The reference may be in the wrong format. It should be uppercase. Tax office numbers should not be duplicated. For example, 951/951WZ1234. This can happen because of taking the reference number from correspondence with HMRC. The reference may be wrong because of lead-in zeros, for example, 00951, when it should just be 951. Another common error is where that more than one P-35 is submitted for the same pay-as-you-earn reference number. And never send a paper P-35 after submitting the P-35 online. Incorrect characters that typically are put into the fields might be O for orange when it should be 0 for 0, S for sugar when it should be 5, and a Z when it should be a 2. Other problems can happen where employers confuse their user ID with the password or the activation PIN. Once that activation PIN has been used the first time, it should be destroyed. It has no further use whatsoever. Forgetting a password is a problem which I've mentioned already and which we need to sort out well before the filing deadline. Section 6, Summary. Submission of the end of year PAYE returns is a statutory obligation for all employers, and failure to do so accurately and on time may result in penalties being charged by HMRC. proper preparation and planning is essential to successfully completing this task. It should be assumed that the P35 and P14 PAYE returns are to be filed online, and a first step is to check that you have the user ID and password and that it works. Alternatively, taking early action to either register for online filing or to obtain a new password or active version PIN is essential. Also part of the preparation will be to reconcile the information on the payroll with the payments already made to HMRC. And because of the 19th / 22nd April payment deadline, the reconciliation should be done before the final payment deadline is reached, allowing us time to make any additional payment that's necessary. Leaving this until the end of year returns are submitted will be too late. Any additional payment should be sent to the accounts office, not to the tax office. I hope that this podcast and the others in the 2011-12 PAYE end of year series will help you get through this task successfully. Thank you.